When the wise men, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. This is amazing. Here we now see God's grace. I just want you to imagine for a second that you're Mary. All right, let's just walk through where Mary's been over the last couple years up to this point. She's about 14 years old. She's betrothed to be married to Joseph. She's excited. She's a teenage girl. She's in love. She's excited about all the things that are coming soon for her in her life, all the changes of falling in love and marrying Joseph. And she becomes betrothed to him. And then Scripture tells us an angel appears to Mary. It says, Mary, fear not, in Luke 1. Bring you tidings of great joy, right? And you're going to give birth to the Savior, to the Messiah. Her world would have been totally rocked, totally flipped upside down as a young girl. Ladies, how many of you are about 14? You about 14, Tiff? Are you 14? Okay, there we go. Nobody look at her because that would be embarrassing. But 14 years old, Mary is. At first, imagine what she would have felt. Excitement, right? God's chosen me. How great is that? Can't wait to tell my parents. Oh, I got to tell my dad. I wonder if the angel showed up to him. Or if the angel showed up to my mom. What are they going to say? Mary was a very real young girl. She had every insecurity that every young woman has. Everyone. And what now? And how do I explain this to them? Are they really going to believe? Are they really going to believe that an angel appeared to me in a dream and that I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit? Oh, my dad's going to kill Joseph if he doesn't believe this. Oh, what about Joseph? What's Joseph going to say? And imagine the panic likely in some ways, humanly speaking, that would have entered her spirit and her soul. Well, the angel told her that her relative Elizabeth was also pregnant in the same way, miraculously, and she would give birth to the one to prepare the way to John the Baptist, and she was 3 months pregnant. So Mary goes, well, okay, so she had an angel appear to her. I'm going to go talk to her. She would understand. And Mary goes off, and she's there for about 3 months, and she comes back. And I think likely then it's at this point she begins to tell people, and she tells her mom and dad. And what do they say? What does the family say? She tells Joseph. Well, obviously Joseph didn't believe her. He loved her, though. He didn't want to disgrace her, and so he's going to divorce her quietly, we saw last week. He's a very righteous man, but then he's warned by an angel in a dream that, no, this is legit, Joseph. Mary. Take her as your wife. Don't divorce her. What she said's true. And basically, God's saying to Joseph, I want you to adopt my son and to raise him. And so they go, and 9 months later, they give birth. And remember, they come to Bethlehem, and there's no place for them to stay at the inn. Think of this, a young teenage couple. She's pregnant. They can't probably afford a really nice place to stay. Let alone all the places they could afford. There's no room. And they end up in a manger, which literally would have been a cave where animals were. And Jesus is born into the filth and stench of an animal manger or stall, just like he's born into the filth of sin in this world. And just on their own. And then we don't really know much about that next year and a half to 2 years. But any of you who've been a mother and you have a young child, I'm sure Mary was depressed for a while. There would have been times where she was scared. There would have been times she wondered, really? Why does it have to be like this, God? There would have been times where Jesus, not in sin, but just as a toddler, drove her up the wall, right? And I think about all these things, and let alone the ridicule of people. I mean, she would have faced three types of people, right? She would have faced ones who were just openly in her face. And yeah, because not many people probably believed her story about this angel. And they were totally in her face and, oh yeah, you're just wicked and sexual immorality and all in her face about it. And they could tell her all about grace and how she needed grace, but they had no way of really demonstrating it on their own. Don't you know people like that? Like they can tell you everything about Scripture, but they sure don't demonstrate it. And she probably faced people like that. And then she probably also faced people who maybe they didn't tell her directly about it, but they were talking over here. Hey, remember her? And she heard about it from that first group of people. And then there would have been others who would have been gracious to her and did understand and did believe her. And even if they didn't believe her, did love her. But in the back of her head, remember, she's a teenage girl. She's a young woman with all the insecurities of any young woman. I wonder what they really think. I mean, they're nice to me, but what do they really think of me? And just all of the tension in her spirit and in her heart over all of this. But yet I know this is what God has done, and I rejoice in what he's done and how he's chosen me. And I wonder what this day was like for Mary. I wonder what this very day was like. Jesus is 1.5, 2 years old. Maybe he was fussy. Maybe he wouldn't eat his Cheerios. Maybe he kept pulling the top off his, turning the sippy cup upside down with the red juice on the white carpet. Not in sin, but just as a 2 year old, right? Maybe she had just had a long, hard day. Possibly, I don't know. And then this knock on the door. She opens the door. Here's a throng of people with gifts of gold, expensive gifts, frankincense, myrrh. And you can tell they're well-to-do people. And is your toddler home? Listen, there's one who's been born King of the Jews. Is he here? And they come in and they worship Jesus. Think of the way that would have confirmed her spirit. Think of the way that suddenly, even in the midst of all her pain, all her insecurity, all the hurt, all she just suddenly experiences God's grace and his love. It had to be overwhelming, didn't it? It had to be overwhelming for her and confirming for her. And I kind of wonder if the back of her head, she thought, I hope those people across the street are watching this. But just think about that. Think about that would have been like for her. Have you experienced God's grace? That's the experience of God's grace. That's the experience of his love for you. Remember we said it a few weeks ago, it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, what you've messed up, what's been done to you. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He can save you. He will redeem you. He will use you if you turn to him in faith. And even in the spite of our hurt and our pain and the trials we face, God's grace is bigger. It is. It's bigger. I mean, have you experienced his grace, or is there this heart level thing where you still think it's all, I've got to achieve God's favor? That's works. That's law. Understand God's grace for you in Jesus. And we see it here to Mary.